And of course, welcome back worldwide to Coast AM, heard now all over the planet, England, Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, Japan, Germany, you name it, we reach it right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back in a moment with David Wilcock and some of his incredible prophetic dreams on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We've got David Wilcock, and of course, we've got you as well. We'll take phone calls with David next hour. David, let's talk a little bit about disclosure. You truly believe, like Steve Bassett, it will happen?
I think it's inevitable. I think that you can't hold the truth down forever. And what happens is a certain critical mass of people become aware of what's really going on. It's a fait accompli, meaning it forces itself to happen just by the course of events that will naturally unfold. Now, what seems to be the case is that the powers that be at the highest levels do plan on telling us, and they do plan on revealing everything. But as I said, they feel that if they did it before there was a massive population reduction, that it would be catastrophic for the Earth.
Out of control.
Now, the thing I will tell you is that the disclosure thing is not so nebulous. We have got one source in particular who has now heard from three different highly placed sources in the intelligence community that he's in contact with. These are people who don't know each other and are not speaking to each other, but they do speak to him. And they all have independently told him that a formal government disclosure is being planned before the end of the year. They all had the exact same date for when this would happen, which I cannot say what it is. They all had the basic sequence of events that would happen. They're all saying that the television time has already been booked internationally for a two-hour special.
And now when you say you can't say the date, or you won't say the date?
If I said the date, I could potentially be hurt. So I'm not going to say what the date is.
All right, but you know the date.
I know the date.
All right.
And it's before Christmas, but after where we are now, and it's definitely, as I said, the television time has been booked. If this does happen, it's not just going to be something where we are told that this is true. It's going to be, hey, this is true, and let me introduce you to several different members of these other human species who are out there, who incidentally look very similar to us with only minor differences.
And here they are?
Yes, here they are. Because they can speak telepathically, but they can also use the primitive dial-up modem kind of speaking through their mouth.
Let me preface this. I'm going to say that it's highly doubtful, but what are the possibilities that you are a tool of the Illuminati? You know too much, David.
It's possible. It's always possible. I'm not going to be so arrogant as to expect that people would think that I couldn't have been manipulated. What I will say, though, is that if you look at my website and you look at the consistency of the positive message that I've been putting out there, and you look at how I've been recording my dreams for 17 years.
Well, that's why I said it's highly doubtful.
Right. That I have this
possibility.
You know, I think the bottom line is this. I've finally grabbed a lot of attention. There's as we know, you're going to be on this sci-fi special. Richard Hoagland is going to be on it. I'm going to be on it. It's called 2012 Startling New Secrets. We now have an actual airtime. It's going to be Sunday, November the 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern time, two-hour special on sci-fi. We're all going to be involved in it, and it's going to give a lot of this kind of information about 2012 that I've been sharing on the show. I apparently am one of the most present people in the documentary in terms of how much time I get. So I'm attracting attention. I also have a major book contract with Penguin, one of the biggest publishers, to write the book 2012 Enigma. The president of Dutton Books, who is also the editor and publisher of Eckhart Tolle, he was the one who contacted me. His name is Brian Tart. And he actually feels that my work is on par with Eckhart's and that it deserves to be as popular as Eckhart's.
That's pretty dramatic, David.
So, yeah, the assets of that company are going to be going into this. I also can now announce that the person I'm doing my film Convergence with is the same guy who wrote the movie Contact. His name is Jim Hart. So this is an A-plus Hollywood screenwriter And I'm telling you, if we can get this film made, and I think we will, it is going to be the most mind-blowing disclosure film on par with Close Encounters or Matrix or anything like that that you've ever seen. It's going to be totally incredible.
You've been plugging away at this for a long, long time.
Absolutely. I've definitely come up through the trenches. I spent years and years in abject poverty. Finally, I have some financial stability now, and I thank everybody out there who goes to conferences and orders products because, you know, this is what keeps us going. And I just want to say that we are able to have very spontaneous change happen. 9/11 did happen, okay? It did happen. You're sitting there one day, and it's September 10th, and then all of a sudden the whole world is upside down. So very major, very unusual, and very outrageous things can occur. It doesn't always have to be negative. It seems to be impossible to believe that a disclosure could actually happen, that the President of the United States could get on national television for 2 hours, sit you down, and basically tell you, okay, look, human beings didn't just evolve on Earth. We don't know if we were here first or they were here first or what, but here's several of my closest friends from other planets to introduce themselves to you.
And they come rolling out. It's probably Cheney in costume.
He doesn't need a costume.
You really think that's going to happen, Dave?
Well, I'm not going to stake my whole reputation on it. But yeah, I mean, look, it all lines up. When the negative side is about to be defeated, they get really stupid. Think about Napoleon's Waterloo or think about Hitler in Stalingrad. What ends up happening is they make dumb moves. They do things too fast without planning it through. And this is what they're doing with the swine flu thing. It's like, well, we ran out of time. If this disclosure is going to happen, I mean, I just want you to grok the fact that if the truth comes out, it is bigger than the foundation of Islam. It is bigger than the foundation of Christianity because at the time, these events only reached, you know, several hundred thousand people. This would be the biggest event in human history, the most spontaneous shift that humanity has ever seen. Everything that's being talked about on the nightly news right now would pale to insignificance. Guys like you and me are going to be having the phone ringing off the hook. They're going to want us on every show. That's not the focal point. But the point is, everything is going to change in such a dramatic way. Everybody listening to this has probably had that experience where they first started to get over the tipping point and realize, hey, you know, maybe this stuff is true. Well, imagine what would happen if the planet is told. And imagine how bad that would be for the controllers, because what they're seeing is the loss of their ability to be seen basically by themselves as
the
gods of the
earth. Let's go through a scenario here, David, that
okay.
All the masses are still here. And I want you to tell us, in your own mind, of course, if disclosure occurs when we're all on this planet still, nothing's happened to the masses. What happens to us? How do we react? Explain what happens to economies, to world governments, to religions. Just go through it from the announcement stage.
It's so vast, and there's so many probability vortexes, it's hard to really nail it down. But I will say that it's going to rock the foundations of the world. I would say that we will have some very dramatic economic changes, which probably are not negative. There will probably be a fair number of people who will be so stunned that they won't want to go to work for a while. But I don't think that's going to be a long-term problem. I think that's one of the things the planetary elite are the most concerned about, is that people would just stop working. But I do think that we're going to see it's going to be such a massive change that any movie that has been made before this happens, any television show that was written before this happens, any magazine, any website that was written before this happens will become irrelevant on some levels. Because
all outdated.
Everything that we ever say, everything that we ever think will be completely based on this. And if we know that there are other humans out there and that we're not the only game in town, and we suddenly realize that aliens are not these scary, horrible, insect-like creatures, but they're people like us, it means our family is a lot bigger than we think. I think in many ways it would reaffirm faith and world religions, because now you realize that every ancient religion has reports of people who look like us who can do very amazing stuff and come here and basically teach us how to live more virtuous lives.
Well, David, what if they don't look like us? What if we look like them.
Well, it becomes six of one, half a dozen of the other. Once you get into the science that I'm going to talk about in the television show on Sci-Fi and in the movie and in the book, 2012 Enigma, you're going to see that the galaxy itself is responsible for writing the code of DNA, and the human design is a galactic intelligent design.
I think you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, I was telling Seth Shostak from SETI many months ago, and then many years ago locally when I was talking with him, that the primordial soup in the universe is the same all over the place.
Absolutely. There's so much evidence that supports this, and that's going to become the dominant thing that everybody's going to look at. And I think
there were dogs, there were raccoons, there are people, there are similar creatures on other planetary systems.
I mean, think about it. Everybody's going to have pants. Everybody's going to have socks, underwear. Everybody's going to have shirts, probably button-down shirts. I mean, there's going to be a lot of similarities. They're going to have musical instruments, brass, woodwind, drums, guitars. You know, these things become obvious, and in fact, things like musical instruments and things like clothing may be part of the mind of the galaxy. It's like we naturally tap in, just like animals instinctively know what the predators are, even if they've never seen one before. They automatically crouch when the predator bird flies overhead. They just know.
If they disclose, one of the questions I would ask if they've invited me there, let's say, is how did you get here? What form of propulsion system did you use? Because if they have now developed an incredible propulsion system, and we know we did, whether they bend space and time, the point is that they've now created free energy. They've been able to tap into it. And so my follow-up question will be, when do we start using it? When do we get free electricity and free fuel to heat? When do we get this?
Well,
what will they say then?
It's bursting out at the edges already. There's a technology invented by Paul Pantone called GEET, G-E-E-T.
Yes, had Paul on the show.
Oh, you did? Okay.
When he got out of jail. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can run an engine on 80% water, 20% gas with very, very little modification. The fact is the free energy technologies have existed for a long time. There are actually other guys who have invented 100% water hydrogen engines that don't need any gas. We have plenty of technologies. I'm personally aware of free energy inventors who have devised systems that don't even have moving parts. They just sit there and they work. And the fact is, the only reason why this stuff hasn't gotten out there is because the faction that's on the American side, the so-called New World Order Rockefeller side, has been actively going around killing everybody who tries to get this out there and or buying them off and or threatening them and making them shut up.
Did you hear that the head of part of the financial wing of the Rockefeller Group killed himself a few weeks ago?
Yes. This is that, the kind of thing, yes, it's a very good point, George. Thank you for mentioning
that. It's a bizarre story, and there's been no follow-up anywhere, David.
Well, look. Again, it's because all this stuff is happening because we're right on the verge of them having a major defeat. I'm aware of three completely different scenarios in which disclosure could happen in a major, major level. And even in your opening announcements, you were talking about Rendlesham Forest sighting.
Yeah.
And how the UK is now putting it right on the front page of their magazines and stuff that, hey, Rendlesham might have been a tourist from an extraterrestrial civilization just stopping by to pay us a visit. So they're doing as much as they can to get people ready so that when the truth is revealed, that society will basically hold together. Now, I think if Obama were to make this announcement on national television and it goes all over the world, and if he introduces us to these other people.
Well, why do you think it'll be just him? Why not done on the level of the United Nations with all leaders?
Yeah, it's a horse race, and it's going to be somebody. And at this point, I think it's really a question of who wins, who gets to break the story first. I've heard of three completely separate ways in which disclosure could happen. And one of them I really can't say anything about at all because I'd be getting in major trouble. But let's say
you're already in major trouble. You've said too much already.
It's funny because I had one of these very high-ranking witnesses staying in my house over the last 2 weeks. And we were talking about this stuff in the house, and then my housekeeper was there. And she flushed the toilet in the upstairs guest bedroom, which hadn't been used in a while, and water just started pouring out of the kitchen ceiling, just pouring out. And it turns out that the entire – it's an iron pipe. It's about 4 inches wide that comes out from the toilet.
It
busted open like a banana. Now, the iron doesn't do that.
Welcome to home ownership, David.
But if it was a message, somebody saying, stop the leaks. You know, don't leak the crap, so to speak.
Well, it could be a coincidence.
Yeah,
of course,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, it was a funny coincidence. It was kind of, you know, the universe has a sense of humor. But I will say, without getting into any hot water here, that one of the ways this might happen would be from industry. A very large industry that would realize that if they were able to build these things, that they could have a massive, massive, massive profit boom. And they may be wanting to do a disclosure just for the sake of how it would benefit them financially. You also have to consider the fact that Benjamin Fulford, the former East-West editor for Forbes magazine, came in contact with a group in Japan that claims to be part of an opposition force. I have been in contact with Fulford, and I have actually spoken now to at least one of the people that is responsible for telling him the things that he heard.
Oh, and what do you mean opposition force?
The Illuminati New World Order agenda.
Well, that's pretty risky on their part, don't you think?
Well, yes and no. I mean, they have a great deal of assets of their own. They have a very substantial militia, so to speak, and the ability economically and politically to affect great change. I mean,
I always thought, David, people with unlimited resources, all of them end up the same way, that this becomes a game of power, of manipulating the human race. So I would question what their motives are, because I would think that they'd be in line with the Illuminati.
Well, that's like saying that if a kid goes out trick-or-treating, that every person who gives him Halloween candy, there's going to be needles or LSD or PCP in the candy.
No. I'm saying that there's an evolution of wealth, and when people get to the point where they earn so much money that they don't become, loving of humanity. I think they become evil.
I would concur that in many cases that is the case, but I would also say that there are exceptions to everything, and any type of broad stroke generality like that is fraught with logical errors. I think that there's always going to be exceptions, and, most of the rest of the world really doesn't want this genocidal crazed initiative to take place. And a lot of the other countries, because of these Illuminati New World Order countries, the old white European monopoly, has stopped creating things of value. You know, it's all based on just, hey, let's run the printing press. So what's happening is that countries like China, India, the South America, mm-hmm. that they're actually creating value, they're creating commodities, and in so doing, they've now gained a dramatic economic advantage, and they don't have the same type of genocidal aspirations that people from these European countries at the highest levels do. It's just a different mentality. I think that especially like if you look at the Asian mindset, there is a difference in the Asian mindset, which is much more collective in its focus. And they look at what's going to benefit the collective more than just the individual.
Well, now you know why we call David Wilcock the thinker. And we'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM, including his thoughts on why he believes this DNA is the same and everywhere throughout the universe. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with David Wilcock. Final hour, Richard C. Hoagland joins us to talk about blasting the moon, which will happen Friday morning. So all that and more next on Coast to Coast AM. David, give us your take, first of all, on DNA before we take it out into the universe.
Well, DNA has been proven to be a conduit for a non-physical energy. This is a very important point. If you look at the Einstein model of space and time, what we realize is that as you move through space, you also move through time. Space is not just this empty thing. If you go really fast through space up to light speed, you're also going through time in a way that changes your perception so that you might only think it's a week, but on Earth it's been 1,000 years. So that shows on a fundamental level that space is not just this empty thing. There's something in there. Well, it goes a lot farther than that because, as I've said before, the Russians, specifically Dr. Peter Gariev, did an experiment where he takes a piece of DNA, sticks it in a little test tube where it can absorb light, and you can measure the light that it absorbs. And in fact, DNA will take all the stray photons in the area and spiral them through the molecule. It's like a light absorber. It actually has a vortex type of effect that pulls in all the surrounding light into itself. And then the thing is that you can take the DNA out of the tube, and then the light will continue to spiral as if the DNA were still there for up to 30 days. Even if you blast it with liquid nitrogen, it comes back within about 6 to 8 minutes and shows up again. So what is this force that's holding the light in place when the DNA isn't even there anymore? If you're sitting there right now listening to the show, and during the commercial break you went up and got to the bathroom and then you came back, this is saying that some part of your DNA is still there in the chair, and it will on a very subtle level be changing the way that the light is moving through the room. And it's a very substantial discovery. And what it ultimately shows us is that our physical body has an energetic pair that is very similar to it, has the same structures in place, and that is actually more of who we really are than the physical body. The physical body is like a projection of the spirit, and the spirit is, in fact, a holographic duplicate of the physical body, but that is actually where most of your thought processes are taking place. Anything involving real thinking or the higher intellect is happening in the energy body. That's why when the energy in the solar system is amping up, as we showed you that it is, it simultaneously is amping up human intelligence. Human intelligence is based on an energy pattern, and when the frequency, when the vibration of that energy increases, so will your thoughts move faster, so will you appear to become more intelligent. So DNA, again, is a conduit for this energy of the soul, and there is an energetic pair to it that's what we have as an astral body, as some call it.
So you believe that this DNA travels throughout the universe, it's everywhere, which then means that similarities may abound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the guys that founded the DNA molecule, Dr. Francis Crick, took a look at all the dust in the galaxy and found that 99.9% of all the dust he could find had the light signature of bacteria in space. So it's no different. That means that most of the stuff that's out there is actually living stuff. And it also means that we now have an explanation for why bacteria have been found growing inside nuclear reactors, inside volcanoes, miles below the surface of the ocean. Everywhere you look, you find bacteria. And that's because life is just going to form wherever and however it can. It's an intelligent pattern. Matter is built to make life. The scientists that are finding this call it the Goldilocks principle, and they explain that all over the universe, the conditions are just right for life to occur, like the Earth and elsewhere.
Let's talk a little bit about what you believe is happening in this universe, in this solar system as well. You believe that there's going to be some kind of galactic wave or energy field coming in. Is it going to blast us? Is it going to knock out communications, David? What's going to happen?
Well, that may occur, but to make it a clearer point here, I would propose that this is something that has been well underway for some time. It's not like we're waiting for something that isn't already happening. You look at the massive exponential progression of human civilization over the course of the last several hundred years, and how Benjamin Franklin basically was the guy who invented the closed stove just to have burners and not be cooking over an open fire. So we're only talking about a few hundred years ago that we were basically cooking over open fire, and we didn't have electricity, and we didn't have machines that made it easier to do all the basic things that we do, like washing our clothes and refrigerating our food and having electric lights so we can read at night and being able to talk over the internet and over the telephone. This is all brand new stuff, relatively speaking. And the threat is whether we have evolved to a level as a species where we can handle these toys without destroying the planet. And the galactic wave specifically seems to be part of an intelligent design that energetically pushes us to the next level. And it really is a question for everyone of whether you're harmonizing with the change or not. Now, I can go into science and physics and tell you very specifically about how we can measure these waves, where they are, and what they are. So I'll do that just a bit because that was the essence of your question.
Sure.
If you look at other galaxies, there was a scientist, Dr. William Tift, who did what's called a redshift study. And redshift is really nothing more than a frequency of microwave vibration. And what he found was that even though redshift is supposed to indicate distance in conventional astrophysics, he saw that there were multiple layers of redshift within single galaxies where the values of the microwave frequency get much more intense at the center of the galaxy, and then in even intervals, in layers that are concentric circles, they get less and less intense by mathematically precise values as you go towards the outside. So he demonstrated that those galactic fields are out there. He proved that they exist, and we have hundreds and hundreds of galaxies that have been observed, mostly by college students working on their PhD because the mainstream is just stuffing this down. But it proves that these galaxies have these striated layers of vibration in them. Now, then I turn you to the work of Dr. Harold Aspden, A-S-P-D-E-N, who basically has rewritten science and physics by using the original Maxwell electrical equations that everybody believes is true. Nobody disputes it. Now, in the Maxwell equations, he basically postulates a sort of an ether, this idea of a non-seen energy field that underlies electromagnetism but is not electromagnetic. And what Aspden was able to do was to retool the Maxwell equations, shuffle them around in ways that are plausible, and he tells you exactly how he does it. And he found that this ether has different levels of frequency and that they would have certain microwave signatures that we would be able to measure. Well, he was absolutely astonished because when he looked at TIFT's data, he found that the galaxies are giving off exactly the same microwave frequencies that he mathematically discovered by monkeying around with Maxwell's equations. That is an astonishing discovery. Putting those two things together is something I found in the year 2000. It's hard to explain, but it is the smoking gun that shows that there are galactic energy fields that they do refer to, for lack of a better term, planes of existence, because these different frequencies of this ether basically represent different levels of reality. So as this energy comes into the solar system, what is it doing? We can see what it's doing. It's making the planets get hotter and brighter and more magnetic. There's a lot more dust coming into the solar system. The sun's magnetic field has shrunk by 25% from all the outside pressure. One of these insiders has told me that they're actually out there with some of these spaceships that they have. This is our guys now. This is not ETs.
Right.
That they've gone out there and they've looked at this wave coming in. And they basically are seeing a time window of 2012 to 2017 in which they believe there's going to be some very dramatic changes on the Earth, which they think are basically unavoidable and will be, for lack of a better term, cataclysmic. Now, again, this is not what I have been shown. This is not what I think is going to be happening. I think that these changes are more intended to break the shell that we've built around our hearts. The idea of Armageddon and apocalypse is something that startles us into attention so that we get back on track with what being human is really about. We are a projection of the Creator. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and there's only one of us here, ultimately. So if you really get down to what the highest level ETs are saying, the ones that are right before the level where they basically start to reunify with the universe and no longer deal with anything other than the one infinite mind, they're pretty unified in their perspective. The source that I consistently draw on the most, of course, is the Law of One. I've talked about this before. I have extensive data on it on my website, divinecosmos.com. And what I can tell you is that this data really rocked my socks off because I found it in 1996. It was allegedly channeled. Usually I don't put any credence on channeling. I think most of it out there is largely people's conscious mind with maybe a little bit of real stuff to just spice it up. But this source is different than that. This source actually leaked a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't know in 1981, but now with the benefit of time has been proven scientifically correct. So almost everything that I talk about in terms of galactic energy fields and the change of the Earth in 2012 and all that stuff was in these books in 1981, and all these whistleblowers keep coming forward. They tell us, for example, Sergeant Clifford Stone, saying that of the ETs that are visiting us and crashing their ships, that we found 57 different varieties, and they all basically look human. Well, that also was in the Law of One back in 1981. They said there's 53 basic civilizations visiting us, and there's also six more that are negative that happen to be visiting us. So that's right around the same number. So when you start combining all these things together, I'm left with the conclusion that we actually are being given accurate information. The Law of One is one example where ETs actually did get a nice clear station and were able to speak for a few years and tell us what they really think and what's really going on. And what they're saying is that our planet is being managed. They said there was a quarantine around the planet, and we now know from whistleblowers that that is true. In fact, it's a very difficult problem because the Van Allen belts basically have an impenetrable shield that prevents things from getting in and prevents things from going out, and you need very advanced exotic technology to be able to get through this quarantine. But apparently that quarantine was put in by high-level ETs to basically stop bad guys from being able to get in here. The Law of One series basically says that on certain occasions there are random windows where they can get in temporarily, and those random windows are only allowed to occur because we as a species, as human beings, have a certain degree of negativity in our own minds, and that invites a certain degree of negativity to come in. So also they explain that the Earth changes are a projection of our own collective psyche, that when we are sick in ourselves, the planet has to mirror our sickness by showing us volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, tidal waves, etc.
See, and I always thought, David, that this was possibly the planet's way of curing its own ills.
Yeah, if there's too many people on the planet, I think the planet will take care of it on its own. We certainly don't need people like the Illuminati or the New World Order trying to do it for the planet.
That's true.
But on the other hand, as I've said before, I think that if there is going to be cataclysmic activity, it may very well be that we will not be experiencing the same frequency as where that cataclysm occurs. I think some people might. Now, bear in mind, there are vast, vast facilities underground. Ever since the U.S. government started to hear about this in around World War II and other governments as well, there's been a massive, massive subterranean construction project in place. Multiple bases with all sorts of what they call sub-shuttle systems that connect them together. There are off-planet bases as well on the moon, on Mars, and elsewhere. And they are preparing for this big thing to happen.
According to Richard Sauter, these are thousands of feet deep as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're so far down that if you're on an elevator going top speed, you can jump and you'll actually hover in the air because of how fast you're moving down. They're miles and miles down in some cases. And they're absolutely enormous. In fact, in many cases, they found old bases that other ETs had put here long ago that they were able to, you know, break into and basically refurbish. And that's also what's happened apparently with Mars and with the moon and other places too, is that there's stuff everywhere. I mean, if you start getting into the idea that humans are pretty common in the galaxy, in fact, the Law of One series tells us there's 67 million planets in the galaxy with people on them like us at various times right now in our current present time. I mean, that's a staggering number. And, of course, many of these planets are probably somewhat primitive. They're at various stages of evolution, but there's still going to be a relatively substantial number that get past the crisis point that we're in now, are able to achieve interstellar travel. And beyond interstellar travel, they're able to achieve wormhole travel, meaning that they can use traversable wormholes and basically travel through space without having to actually make any distance. They just go from one place to another.
Like the movie Contact.
Exactly. And so what we're seeing now is a convergence of all these different threads of information that I've been collecting for so long. And finally, some of these insiders are actually sitting down and talking to me, sometimes in person, sometimes over other methods. And I have learned so much more that I know now than I'm allowed to talk about. But everything you can imagine is out there. Every type of human you can imagine is out there, good, bad, and indifferent. There is artifacts everywhere. It's just staggering how stupid we are compared to what there really is. I mean, our guys have found so many pieces of technology that they've either just burned or buried or dumped into the ocean or locked up in warehouses. And any one of them could be the Rosetta Stone that would completely change this planet if they were investigated. But there is so much redundancy that they just can't even spend the time to look at this stuff. I mean, there's so many different compartments within the cover-up, and each of these compartments are working on technologies on their own, in many cases without access to other programs working on the same stuff. It's really quite laughable. But there is a level at which everybody has, and this is the people on our planet now.
Right.
Now, bear in mind, it gets smaller and smaller. We're literally talking about, there's probably only about 90 people who know most of what's going on, and then there's a subset within those people of maybe 15 to 25, and they're the ones who really know what's going on. But they're only the managers on Earth working with many other people who have since moved off planet and are involved in, you know, ships that are in space, bases on other planets, bases under the ground. I mean, there's tons and tons of people that are working in these other programs, many tens of thousands of people that are no longer in any type of conventional society as we would think of it, but were born here and are working in these other programs, and they're working with other human beings.
When remote viewer Ingo Swann said he saw structures on the moon, what do you think he saw, David? Do you think he saw alien, or do you think he saw ours?
Well, they could be ours from people of our future who were able to time travel and then went back in time and built things back then. The funny thing is that when you get into this technology I'm talking about, some of the bases that our guys are working on are actually in the future. And they actually travel to the future to do their job, and then they come back to what we would think of as the present. So, like, for example, Henry Deacon actually went and looked for where he was working on Mars on the Mars map and found that the base wasn't there where he knew that it would be. And he knew what it should have looked like, and it wasn't there. Well, other insiders I've talked to have now validated everything that Henry Deacon is saying is true, and there's even more than what he said is true. And of course, the Henry Deacon testimony is something I've written about extensively. I've had more contact with him than anybody else. I've actually spent some 80 hours in conversation with him now. He's told me a lot of stuff that I haven't said, but a lot of his testimony has been put out there. And again, there's hundreds of different human species that our guys are interacting with out there. It only is 57 that happen to have crashed on Earth and are showing enough interest in us to actually be zipping around.
What do you think of the theories of Ed Grimsley?
Ed? Please explain.
Ed believes that there is a war going on, and he claims to see them with night vision goggles.
That's absolutely true. Infrared and ultraviolet will allow you to see things that are just outside the range of our physical senses. And there is definitely a war going on. In fact, one of the groups is the so-called Anunnaki, which are basically, they appear to be reptilian humanoids. And again, this is probably going to make a lot of people laugh, but some of the species that evolve on some planets do appear to evolve through a reptilian lineage. And it does seem that most of those species tend to be more inclined to dominate and control rather than to be cooperative and service to others oriented.
Well, and as David Icke has always said, some of those probably are here. Some of our families, our very elite families, have a lineage from the reptilians.
Well, boy, I don't know how much I can say here. I didn't believe any of this stuff, and I don't even like talking about this because I didn't want to believe that reptilians existed. Now, Henry was always saying that he did meet the Anunnaki, and they're very tall. They're like 14, 15 feet tall.
Why do they wear masks? Because they're reptilian. Let's talk about that and take phone calls next.